Of the big new Mars Bar welcome you to Curtain Time. Well, the packed lobby indicates that tonight we'll be playing to another full house. And here, smiling and happy, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's the advance open tonight's play?
Well, I can't say a word, Martin, except that everything seems to be very mysterious. There's the overture. We'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seats 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, here we are in our usual good seat. But there's only a moment, so let's glance at the program before the lights are lowered. Harry Elders, supported by the Curtain Time Players, is starred tonight in The Quiet Young Man by Sidney Huffman. Mr. Elders plays the part of Joe Franklin, and Jean Mowry will be featured as Jennifer Lawrence.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of The Quiet Young Man. The scene is the living room in the modest home of Mrs. Lawrence, a widow. It's a little while before dinner time, and Mrs. Lawrence is talking with her attractive daughter, Jennifer.
But Jennifer, with the housing shortage and all, it just isn't fair for us to have that big room upstairs empty.
Oh, I know, Mother, but the last time you spoke of renting it, Mr. Ogilvy made such a terrible fuss.
Mr. Ogilvy is merely a boarder. He doesn't own this house.
Well, he's lived here so long, sometimes he acts as he does.
Well, just the same, we can't be governed by his selfishness in times like these.
Well, maybe not.
After all, Jennifer, since your poor father's death, we've grown so accustomed to sharing our home that... surely one more person won't make any difference.
Not to us, but gee, Mr. Ogilvy doesn't even like his camp company. So how will he feel about another room?
I just don't see why he should object if we advertise for a quiet young man who works during the daytime.
Well, Mr. Ogilvy does work nights, so they never see each other.
Except at dinner. And surely he wouldn't mind seeing someone else at the dinner table.
Oh, Mother, won't that mean more work for you? And the library keeps me so busy that I can't help you, Mom.
Oh, my dear, taking care of four people isn't much more work than taking care of three.
Well, anything's all right with me, but I'm expecting fireworks from Mr. Ogilvy.
Oh, there he is now. I suggest we tell him and get over here.
And ruin his appetite for dinner?
Mr. Ogilvy, is that you?
Yes, Mrs. Lawrence. I just got in. Oh, here you are.
Hello, Mr. Ogilvy.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Lawrence.
Good afternoon.
And my dear Miss Jennifer, I'm going to ask you at dinner whether you'd mind picking up a book for me tomorrow.
Oh, I'd be glad to, Mr. Ogilvy. Mr. Ogilvy,
you see, I've been waiting for this particular book for months.
Mr. Ogilvy, we're going to rent the extra room.
Miss Lawrence just arrived today saying the book was a... What did you say, Mrs. Lawrence?
Mother said she decided we simply must rent the other room on the second floor, Mr. Ogilvy.
But, my dear Mrs. Lawrence, if it's a question of money, I'll be only too glad to let you have...
Mrs. Ogilvy, it's absolutely criminal to let that big room go empty when someone could live in it.
But I'll pay you three times what it's worth.
Well, you just don't understand. It isn't the money.
No, we feel it's wrong not to give someone a place to live.
At the expense of my privacy? I, who have lived in your home for years?
Oh, it won't be at the expense of your privacy.
We thought we could find a nice, quiet young man who's away during the daytime in your home.
Well, it's your home. You're free to do what you please. But I warn you, Mrs. Lawrence, I'll move if this person interferes with my comfort.
Franklin speaking.
Hey, Joe, this is Bill. Are you in
London for us? I am. Well, what's the good word from the Morning Herald?
Well, that just arrived for a room to rent right smack in the Lawrence Tower.
You're kidding. What does it say?
Single room and board for a quiet young man employed during the day. 1424 Fifth Avenue.
Gee, I can't believe it. I thought I'd be lucky if I got a room in the same block.
Well, don't say I never did anything for you, Jim.
Oh, Bill, I love you. I'll get right over there. Thanks a million. Well, Mr. Barnes, you just got yourself a new roomer. Quiet young man employed during the day. That's me.
Mr. Franklin now.
You need him at dinner, Jennifer. He's perfectly charming, very quiet, and well-mannered.
I sure found out we had a room for rent, Mary. He just sent the ad in this morning.
Well, I suppose things like that have a way of getting around.
Of course. He moved in yet?
He just came back with a suitcase. He's upstairs, unpacking now.
What kind of work did he do?
Why, he said he works in an office downtown.
Well, did he understand about Mr. Ogilvy?
Oh, yes, and he was very nice about it, too.
Oh, excellent.
Wanted to tell Mr. Ogilvy's exact hours so he'd be sure not to disturb him.
Oh, say, that reminds me. I brought Mr. Ogilvy the library book he asked me to pick up. Is he upstairs now?
No, dear. He went out a few minutes ago.
Oh, well, I might forget about it. Just to be safe, I'll run upstairs and leave it outside the door.
Oh, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Hello.
What are you doing?
Doing? Oh, doing. Why, I'm trying to... I don't seem to be able to get the door to my room open.
But that's Mr. Ogilvy's room.
It is?
Oh, yes, your room's the next one.
Well, gee. It was pretty dumb of me.
I presume, of course, that you're Mr. Franklin.
Oh, sure. But, oh, gosh, no wonder my key wouldn't work. You know, I'd have sworn this is the room Mrs. Lawrence showed me.
Well, it isn't, and I'm certainly glad Mr. Ogilvy didn't see you. Why, you've had a fit. No one's allowed to go into his room.
Oh, gee, please don't tell him, then. If he's going to be my neighbor, I don't want to start off on the wrong foot.
Oh, don't worry. I won't breathe a word about it. He's made enough fuss already.
You must be, Miss Lawrence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so upset I wasn't even quiet. Yes, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Joe Franklin. How do you do?
How do you do? I just came up to leave a book for Mr. Ogilvy.
Oh, does he read quite a bit?
Oh, yes. He collects first edition, too.
Mm-hmm. He must be pretty well off to do that. What kind of work does he do?
Why, I don't know. Never talks about his job.
He does?
No, but he works nights. I guess he doesn't like it very much.
Well, in that case, maybe I can help him find a job he likes better.
My dear Mrs. Lawrence, as usual, that was one of the best dinners I've ever eaten.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ogilvy. You're always so appreciative of my cooking.
Boy, I am too, Mrs. Lawrence. Since I've lived here, I know what they mean by home cooking.
Oh, really? It was a lovely dinner, Mother.
You do
what? Well, I have a little surprise for all of you tonight.
Oh, you'll excuse me.
Yes, my boy, you were certainly fortunate to be able to move in here.
Don't I know it, Mr. Ogilvy?
And I must admit you are one of the most considerate young men I've ever met.
Well, gee,
perhaps Miss Jennifer told you that I was a little worried about being disturbed.
Well, I have tried to keep out of your way. And...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, my
goodness, darling. Well, whatever you have, a birthday cake for Miss Jennifer.
Yeah, you should have told us. Happy birthday.
I thought it would be fun if we all shared Jennifer's birthday cake.
Oh, Mother, you're a darling. Doesn't it look wonderful?
My dear, I wish I'd known. I would have brought you a little treat.
Oh, Mr. Ogilvy.
I know. I have the very thing upstairs, a little necklace.
Oh, no. Please don't, Mr. Ogilvy. You'll always forget.
Just a little family heirloom, Miss Jennifer. Nothing to speak of. I was looking at it only this morning and thinking it was just the thing for the...
Oh, dear, I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, but why?
Because you're always so extravagant. He must hate to part with the things that have been in his family for years.
Oh, my dear, if it makes him happy to give it to you, just accept it graciously.
That's right.
Oh, but Mr. Franklin, you should see the beautiful watch he gave me one Christmas. Well, I never could have bought it for myself.
Oh, that's it? Does he, come from a wealthy old family?
Oh, we really don't know much about his family, Spencer.
We just know they must have been very fine people. So kind and generous with everyone.
Well, now, that's very nice.
Let go!
Oh, Jimmy, what's
the matter? Wrong!
Oh, Mr. Ogilvy, what's the matter?
Someone's been in my room. My jewels, my treasure. They've been stolen.
Starring Harry Elders and featuring Gene Maury. The Quiet Young Man, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. For some mysterious reason, Joe Franklin moved into the home of Mrs. Lawrence, where another rumor, eccentric old Mr. Ogilvy, also lived. And Mr. Ogilvy, having gone to his room to get a necklace intended as a birthday present for Jennifer, has just rushed into the living room saying that all his precious heirlooms have been stolen. But it's now a moment later.
Mr. Ogilvy, we must call the police.
No, don't call the police, at least not that way.
But, Mr. Ogilvy, if something was stolen, we should let the police know. Don't you think so, Mr. Franklin?
Keep out of this, young man. Nothing like this ever happened before you came into this house.
Why, Mr. Ogilvy?
Look, if you're accusing me of...
Oh, I'm sure he didn't mean it, Mr. Franklin. He's just too excited to know what he's saying.
Well,
let me call the police, Mr. Ogilvy.
Young lady, I'll handle this my own way. I don't wish to involve your mother or yourself in any distasteful inquiries by the police.
Oh, but Mr. Ogilvy, that's silly. Obviously, it wasn't anyone in this house. Someone must have broken in while we were all out.
Let us consider the matter closed, Miss Lawrence.
But
I'm beginning to recover from the shock now, and I prefer to track down the thief in my own
way. Well, whatever you wish. Were these jewels of yours insured, Mr. Ogilvy?
No, they weren't worth insuring. They're not worth anything to a soul but myself.
Well, why would anyone bother stealing them?
I don't know. They were just little heirlooms, having only a sentimental value.
Well, maybe they had a sentimental value for someone else, too.
Mother, are you well?
Yes, dear. What is it?
Oh, I can't sleep. There's something on my mind.
I thought I'd still not sure what's the matter. Have you been crying?
Oh, Mother, I just can't believe that Joe Franklin is a thief.
Why, Jim? Why do you say that?
Because I'm afraid he is. I didn't tell you before because it seemed so unimportant. But
go on, dear.
Well, that very first day he moved in,
yes?
I took a book upstairs for Mr. Rogers.
Oh, I think I remember.
And Joe was in the hall.
Well, of course, he just taken his suitcase upstairs to his room.
Except that he didn't go upstairs to his room.
He didn't?
No. When I first saw him in the upstairs hall, he was trying to open Mr. Ogilvy's door.
Trying to open it? Open it? No.
Oh, dear. He passed it off as an estate. He said he'd forgotten this was his room. Oh, Mother.
Jennifer, this is very curious. You should have told me before.
It was a natural mistake to make. He'd only been up there once before. No. I just don't think it was a mistake.
Jennifer, we must call the police whether Mr. Ogilvy wants us to or not.
But we promised him we wouldn't.
Then that young man must leave this house at once.
But if he does, Mr. Ogilvy will never recover his jewels. And suppose we're wrong?
Why, we'd feel terrible.
Well, what do you suggest?
Mother, if he hasn't, he's got to dispose of him somehow, doesn't he?
I suppose so.
Well, he won't leave him in his room because he knows that you could search him.
But then what did he do?
He'll take them with him and try to get rid of them tomorrow.
How do you know he hasn't already disposed of them?
Because he hasn't been out of the house since Mr. Ogilvy discovered the theft. And Mr. Ogilvy said he'd been looking at the things only this morning.
Well, I don't like the idea of having a thief living in my house. I'm in favor of calling the police.
Just give me one day before you call the police, because tomorrow... I'm not going to be a librarian. I'm going to be a shadow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Great day, isn't it?
Morning. Good morning, Mr. Franklin.
I've got time for just one sip of your swell coffee, Mrs. Lawrence.
Help yourself.
Okay, thanks. Aren't you usually at work by now, Jennifer?
I'm taking the day off.
Oh, well, I'm up a little earlier than usual. Mr. Ogilvy isn't keeping his part of our bargain.
Oh, what do you mean?
Why, the old coot woke me up this morning, fussing around, putting a padlock on the outside of his door.
That's an excellent idea.
Well, guess I'll be going. So long. We'll see you tonight.
Where's my shop, my dear? Isn't this a silly thing to do?
I just got to find out. How else can I do it?
Well, you better hurry or you'll lose him. He's just barely reached the bus stand by now. Oh, there's a cab coming now to take us. Goodbye.
Driver, stop here. Here, keep the chain down and hurry.
I'm watching a lot of people who stopped the bus. Oh, there you're crossing the street and he's going. Hey, what is that sign for? Mother-in-law's pawn shop.
Oh, no, 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 George Poncho. How dare you two?
Call the police.
Hello, this is Joe. Yeah, I've been at it all day.
No, no luck so far. These pawnbrokers are a bunch of wise guys.
What do you mean, take my time? This thing's hot. And that Lawrence James has been following me all day. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Very well. Goodbye. Mother, what did they say?
They'll send a squad car over right away.
Oh, I just can't believe it. What do you think?
Jennifer, you mustn't take it to heart, though. Mr. Franklin doesn't mean anything to you.
Oh, but he's such a nice person.
Well, obviously, you're wrong about that.
Yes, Mother, do you think we should tell Mr. Ogilvie to get home before
you? Oh, dear me, I don't know. The poor man locked himself up in his room all afternoon.
He's just trying to save us embarrassment.
Well, he should know by now that we're more interested in his welfare than what the neighbors think.
Yeah, I guess you're just after him.
Well, you know anyway, Jennifer. It's just about dinner time.
Why, you say something about dinner, Mrs. Lawrence?
Oh, Mr. Ogilvie, there's something we must tell you.
What is it, my dear?
We know. Well, that is, we're almost positive. But he saw the jewels.
You mean Mr. Franklin?
Yes, and we're more than almost positive.
Oh, dear me. How did you find out?
I followed him today.
Yes?
He went to every pawn shop in this city trying to dispose of your jewels.
Oh, my goodness. Knowing that, why, how can I sit through dinner with
you? You won't answer, Mr. Ogilvie. Mother just found the police.
You did?
Yes.
But you said you... Well, in that case,
Mr. Ogilvie, all of them coming now.
Yes, I hear them, too. Goodness me, they've never taken in that young man.
Hi, Mr. Ogilvie, what's the hurt?
Oh, it's you. Well, you got us into this, you thief.
Well, do you want to be alone, Mr. Ogilvie? Okay, I'll help you with the aid of the padlock you put on the outside of your door. Hey, well, old fella, you're safe now, Ogilvie, old boy. That is, if I don't lose the key.
Are you Joe Franklin?
Huh? What?
I asked, are you Joe Franklin?
Yes.
Okay, you're under arrest.
Oh, now look.
I'm taking you down to headquarters. You got some explaining to do about some stolen jewelry.
Are you kidding?
Come on, wise guy.
Why, you...
I told you to come on.
Okay, muscle man. You win.
That's better.
You're making a terrible mistake.
Sure, I know. You got friends. Everybody has.
Look, if you'll just listen to me...
Come on.
All right. Darn it, I haven't had my dinner yet.
For the third act of The Quiet Young Man, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. Some jewels were stolen from old Mr. Ogilvie, one of Mrs. Lawrence's roomers, soon after Joe Franklin moved in. And Jennifer, suspecting Joe, followed him as he visited a number of pawn shops. Well, as a result, her mother called the police, and Joe was arrested. Well, the scene is still the Lawrence home, a few minutes after Joe's arrest. Jennifer, speaking to her mother, is not exactly happy.
Oh, Mother, I just feel so terrible, but so... I can't believe it.
Come, Jennifer. We're lucky he discovered what kind of person he was before anything else was stolen.
My dear, did you hear something?
No.
There it is again.
I heard something. I'm so
sweet with pounding. Oh, my goodness. You throw something at me, Mr. Ogilvie.
I'm going upstairs with you.
All right, I'll come too.
Goodness me, of all the things that can happen.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I think it's time to do something nice.
Oh, dear.
We're coming.
Let me out.
Oh, Mother, it is Mr. Ogilvie. And look, His door is padlocked on the outside.
Is that you, Mrs.
Lowe? Yes, Mr. Ogilvie.
Wonder
why anybody would want to play such a trick on poor Mr. Ogilvie.
An awful Franklin person must have done it.
Shove the key under the door, Mr. Ogilvie, and we'll unlock the padlock.
I can. I left the key in the padlock.
Oh, then it must have dropped on the floor. It's not in the lock now. Hey, Jennifer, can
but
you
it's
see?
Not on the floor, Mother.
Are you sure you don't have the key, Mr. Ogilvie? It's not out here anyplace.
I don't have the key. I tell you, I left it in the padlock. I was in a hurry.
Well, it's just not here, and it'll take hours to remove the hinges on the door.
Well, I just got started.
There's a ladder in the garage, Mother. If you can help me, we can put it up to Mr. Ogilvie's window, and then...
Just get the ladder, please. Hurry.
All right, Mr. Ogilvie. Just try to be patient. We won't be long.
I
think so. We just don't break the window.
Oh,
there.
Oh.
We did it.
Oh, it was a job. Mr. Ogilvie!
Oh, that's strange. I thought he'd be watching us.
Mr. Ogilvie!
Oh, there he is now.
Ah, my dear ladies, I'll never be able to thank you enough. Now,
Jennifer, why's he got his hat on?
Look, he's got a suit with him. Can you make it, Mr. Ogilvie?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I can.
Oh, Mr. Ogilvie, there's somebody else.
Okay, ladies, the show's over.
What are you doing here?
Oh, you're a policeman. And there's a man up in Mr. Ogilvie's room.
There's nothing to get alarmed about. Just a slight charge of helping a criminal to get away.
A criminal?
Get away.
Come on in the house. You two got some explaining to do.
But we were trying to help Mr. Ogilvie.
Yeah, I know.
And someone's up there in his room. What's happening to the poor man?
Okay, inside.
See here, officer.
I said inside, lady. You'll get lots of chance to talk.
Very well.
Oh, how does this go?
And Mr. Ogilvie. Joe, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in jail?
Well, I...
Listen here, Mr. Franklin. What in the world are you doing to Mr. Ogilvie?
Well, I am pushing him.
Yes, but I don't...
Officer, make him stop that resistance.
Calm down, lady.
The officer approves of what I'm doing, Mrs. Lawrence.
That's right. You see, when I was here the first time, you sent me upstairs after the wrong man.
The wrong man?
I demand an explanation.
Joe, officer, please, will somebody tell me what this is all about?
This young thief claims he's a detective.
A detective?
Yeah, and he's got credentials to prove it.
But he took Mr. Ogilvie's jewels.
Jennifer, didn't you wonder why Mr. Ogilvie didn't want you to call the police when the jewels were stolen?
Well, of course not. It's just like Mr. Ogilvie not to want us to be bothered. He's always so thoughtful and charming.
I'll say he is. He's one of the most thoughtful and charming jewel thieves in the entire country.
Mr. Ogilvie,
a jewel thief?
I don't believe it. Mr. Ogilvie, say something.
I demand to see my lawyer.
Mr. Ogilvie is so thoughtful and charming, Jennifer, that he was ready to give you the famous scout necklace for your birthday.
Gee.
It was too hot to
pay. Oh, no, not Mr. Ogilvie.
Well, if you'd bothered to check with those pawnbrokers the day you followed me, Jennifer.
You?
I mean, someday I'll show you the eyes in the back of my head.
But
well, anyway, you might have learned that I wasn't trying to get rid of the scout necklace.
But you look so suspicious.
I was trying to break down some of those boys in order to find out where Ogilvie had pawned the other matching pieces in the center.
Oh, dear. You mean that the earrings, Mr. Ogilvie?
It's all a pack of lies. I don't know anything.
And my beautiful wristwatch.
Hey, Franklin, they sound like they really didn't know about Ogilvie.
Well,
I figured them for his accomplices when I found out with that ladder.
Accomplices?
No, officer, they were really my accomplices.
Yeah?
You see, most of the rungs in that ladder had been cut halfway through, and...
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on, Ogilvie.
I tell you, this is absurd. I demand to see my lawyer.
Sure, you'll get to see lots of lawyers.
Joe.
Gee, what's the matter, Jennifer?
Oh, dear. I'm so happy.
Oh, that isn't very nice. Think of poor, charming Mr. Ogilvie being marched off to the cliff.
Poor Mr. Ogilvie. Taken off to jail without his dinner.
Say, speaking of dinner, maybe you don't remember, but I got hauled off to jail without my dinner, too.
Oh, well, I'm still mixed up, but I'll go out and warm something up for you.
Jennifer. I'm terribly sorry I had to make you so suspicious of me.
Oh, sure.
I couldn't tell you sooner. You might have accidentally said something to Ogilvie.
Oh, I'm so relieved and happy. Oh, it doesn't matter now.
I also feel bad that I gypped you out of a birthday present, too.
Hey, that's right, you did.
Maybe I can make it up to you.
Oh, don't be silly. How can you make up for the Strauss necklace?
Well, you got something there. But, how about having dinner with me tomorrow night?
Oh, I'd love to. Do you have some favorite place?
Mm-hmm.
What? What is it?
It's the place where they serve the best meals in town. It's called Lawrence's up on Vista Avenue.
Oh, no, you're crazy.
I say I am, in a lot of ways, and I love it.
The supporting players were Violet Berwick, Maurice Copeland, and George Caesar. The curtain time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holton. Next week, Curtain Time Play.
Well, Pat, next Saturday, I undergo a great change.
You do?
I most certainly do. You see, I walk into a young lady's office.
Well, what happens to you?
Ah, that would be telling, Pat. But I'll let you in on this much. I wind up as a model husband, which is also the name of the play.
Well, it sounds quite confusing and very entertaining. Well, thanks and good night, Harry Elvis.
Good night, Pat.
And now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting after theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of the big new Mars Bar present
Curtain
IQ, the mental banker. And next Saturday, she will again for Curtain Time. Remember, for the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
This is NBC, the National Broadcast.